Okay, our reading is from Ruth chapter 2, and you find that on page 268 of the Church Bibles. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from a clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is a Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you have left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favour in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from her bundles, and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "This man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you may be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Everybody hear me? Yeah? I'm a little concerned about standing here because I know that you've had work done with the baptistry. Wonder if I'm suddenly going to disappear and you'll just see my little head poking over the top. Thank you. Oh well, it'll make for an interesting service. every time this year that I get to preach somewhere, and I go to the Lord and I say, what do you want me to speak on? And he says, Ruth. Every single time. I've spoken on nothing but Ruth since the beginning of the year. So we're good friends now, Ruth and I. And every time, I'm still excited about it because it's wonderful. It's such a wonderful love story. You think about Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility. Well, Ruth is way up there with everything else because it's just full of gems. And we're just about to meet the leading man in the story. And it says, even before we get to meet him, they say something about him, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech. A man of standing. And I got to thinking about that. What do you think in your... Ooh, it's a bit squeaky. What do you think when you think of a man of standing or a woman of standing? What automatically comes to your mind when you think of somebody like that? He's probably a city elder. He probably sits at the gates and does important things like that, passing around his sandals. And then there's, he's probably good with money, a good steward. He's probably, as we can tell from the story, he's a wealthy man. And I don't know, I just get the feeling that he would be sensible, have a good, be consistent. He's an employer. And you just get the feeling he would be respected. And I just think that's a challenge for me, that when my time is up, I would like to be saying, that's a woman of standing. Wouldn't that be nice for all of us to get that and strive to be like that? I know we do it through Jesus, and he is the only one who changes us, but it's a good place to be, and it's a good place to start with Boaz, to learn about him. Already we know so much about him just from that one comment, that he's a man of standing. And then we go on, and it said, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. This is the Ruth that Naomi tried to send away. This is the Ruth that Naomi didn't want. She wanted her to go back. She didn't think she could offer anything to her. And here is Ruth saying, actually, look, I'm here to take care of you. Let me go and find us some food. And she goes, and anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Have we ever prayed that prayer? I know I have. Lord, give me favor. And we find later in the story that she turns around to Boaz as she's met him in verse 10 and says, why have I found such favor in your eyes? And don't we just pray that sometimes? Lord, give me a blessing, give me favor. And then when it comes, you think, oh, how did that happen? Don't we know that, you know, God answers our prayers? And here she is saying, why have I found favor? And yet that's the first thing she declared when she went out. Sometimes we are too close that we don't see the blessings. This particularly speaks to me because I went, I had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, and my daughter-in-law blessed me by taking me to London to Buckingham Palace for a look round. And you know what they're like in London. They're not terribly friendly. Everybody's busy doing their own thing. Anyway, we got to Victoria Station and we both needed to powder our noses. And it's 50p to powder your nose at Victoria Station. And this woman that we've never met and didn't know walked up to us with 50p in her hand. She said, do you need one of these? And both of our eyebrows went up in there. There she is offering us money, this complete stranger. And it blew us away. It was like somebody we've never met, we don't know. And we knew that it was God. It just felt so like God to come along and bless us. We actually had enough money so we could send her away, but we knew that we had found favor. And I'm sure if we think about it, we can all think of those circumstances and occasions when God has shown us favor over our lives. And it's just wonderful to know that we are so much in the palm of his hand. And then we carry on the story. Naomi gives her permission. Go out, my daughter. So she went out and she began gleaning. And what a coincidence. Just as she arrives there and she's been busy, the same day, Boaz turns up from Bethlehem. Well, well. A coincidence? I think not. And those people that talk to us, and when we say something's happened in our lives, and they turn around and they said, oh, isn't that a coincidence? And we know that God is working. We know it's God's plan. We know we are in the palm of his hand. And there he is. He's just arrived. And look how he greets his men. When I can find it. He comes up to them and he prays. I haven't got it in this version. He prays, welcomes them with a greeting, and they greet him back. It's not actually in here, but in another version I've got at home, it says about it. And I was just thinking about how we greet each other as Christians. Is there any different if I met you in the street than there would be if I met anybody else in the street? In the other version I've got at home, it says, the Lord be with you and the Lord bless you. And I was thinking about the Muslim faith and how they always greet each other. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salaam. There's always a blessing going on between them. And I was thinking, if I meet you in the street, I say, hi, how you doing? There's no distinction that we are automatically setting a blessing to each other. I don't know, maybe some of you do that, but that's really stirred something up in me to say in the future that is something I should be more considerate of. How do I want to greet people? Do I want to greet them with a blessing? Do I want to greet them and say the Lord is with you or something? I mean, we can say shalom, or the blessing of the Lord be with you, or bless you, or something like that. It's really, it struck me that we could do that. Anyway, we get on with the story. Boaz said to Ruth, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. He is continuing the favor. He is telling her to stay safe. God has put her in exactly the right place. And it's disconcerting to know that he has to tell his men not to lay hands on her. And he says it twice in this passage, don't touch her. Which is sad that that must obviously be quite normal if he's concerned about it. So God has put her somewhere where he keeps her safe. And I'm just about to head out to Africa again in a couple of days' time. And I always trust God to keep me safe. I'm believing for him to make sure that I'm in the right place at the right time. And the closest I've got is to tear gas for a crowd clearing. But I've never been any danger. We just turn around and walk the other way. But I have never been put in any danger. God has always been faithful. This will be my 15th trip and he's never let me down. So we carry on the story. And there's another bit that I want to bring your attention to in verse 15. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to the men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. That verse is really important to me, and I will never forget the significance of it. in the early days when I started to go out to Africa, God had this wonderful idea that I should only ever get the money for my trip the day before I left. There are people here who will remember praying with me. Quite a fraught state sometimes. I'd be packed and ready to go, but none of the money would have arrived. And one day, on one of those such occasions, I was packed and ready to go. I had everything except the finances, and I was reading, and God gave me this scripture. Let her glean, and don't reprimand her. I woke up in the morning the day before I was due to leave. I was planning to go for a week. And I had a budget figure that the Lord had blessed me with. And I had nothing. I had about 20p in my bank account or something. And I was heading out. And I was like, well, how do I open the gates of heaven? Well, that's with praise and thanksgiving. So I went into the living room and I turned the music up loud and praying and thanking God. And about 10:30, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he went, go and check your email. So I did. And I had an email from a lovely lady. And she said, I pray a blessing on your trip. And she said, if you have a financial emergency, would you like contact me? And I thought, I have no money yet for my trip. I think that constitutes an emergency. So I went and I sent her a text and I said, yeah, my funding hasn't arrived yet. And she rang me up and she said, well, how much do you need? And I told her, she said, well, I haven't got that much. She said, but I got little pots of money around my house. She said, I'll gather them all up. And this scripture just came to mind about the gleaning. She gleaned around her house and I walked down to her house and she even emptied her change pot. So I came back with a carrier bag like this. And she started something, you know, with the story about the cloud as small as a man's fist, the beginning of the rains coming for Elijah. There was a cloud in my world, the beginning of something. I got really excited when the small things come. And God's saying that to some of you today. You're waiting for a big thing, but look out for the small things, the very beginnings of something. And get excited about those. Put your faith behind the small thing. Get encouraged by the small thing, because the big things will surely follow behind it. And I went and I counted all the money up and paid it into the bank. And there was well over £200 this person had gleaned in their house. And it was enough to get me to the airport. And the whole thing is a huge story of how I didn't quite make it that time. And then I came back home and God then fulfilled the mission and all the money came in. It was a wonderful testimony of God's goodness and stretching my faith in ways that I'd never experienced before. But this scripture about gleaning and don't reprimand her, I really like that in the story, don't reprimand her, was really, really special to me. God is able. God is able to turn your life around in a day. He's done it to me so many times, I can testify it. He is able to turn your life around in a day. We know the story of Ruth. We know that she went from being the lowest of the low and the most humble. I am less than your servant, she says. And yet she ends up being his bride and being the landowner with him, sharing in all his prosperity, not wanting for anything. God is able to turn your circumstances around in a day. We just need to keep our eyes on him, see him moving, see that beginning of something small coming. I know that for many of you, your heart's desire is to see this room full on a Sunday morning. Rejoice in the small things. I remember when I used to come to this church, God gave me a vision of this place absolutely packed and people standing at the back. And he said that he was, the Lord said that he would send somebody new every week. And I held on to that promise. And I told a few people, and I remember there were a couple who came and they were turning around and they said, well, there's nobody new here. And they had a newborn baby with them. And I said, yes, there is. Look at that. It was Rachel and Ian. They had their baby with them. Yes, God is able. So just look to him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And know that even though it may be small beginnings, God can bring the rest shortly afterwards. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are able. You are a big God. You are able to do anything. You are much bigger than we believe. We make you small and we're sorry for that. We want to see things moving. We want to trust you in ways we've not done before. And yes, you call us to step out. And I pray that you give us that boldness in our spirits to step out, to speak up, to make a difference. Oh Lord, will you fill this place? Will you bless us? Will you give us favor? In Jesus' name, amen.